believe that truth is God's. And so we want to explore what that means. And we believe that where truth is found in our world, it's pointing towards Jesus. It's pointing towards God. And so we believe whatever form that is, there's always these beautiful nuggets of truth that can encourage us and equip us. But why music? Well, you see, we think music is a powerful and emotive thing in our world. One of the things is we think music is a powerful and emotive thing in our world. And maybe to illustrate that to you this morning, maybe to sort of like get you to experience what I mean, to make that a little bit clearer in your mind, I want you to imagine for a moment that you're sitting here. We're happy with the first part of my question, okay? I want you to imagine for a moment, the second part's a little bit more challenging. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're listening to me. Is that okay? So I want you to imagine for a moment that you're here, that you're listening to me. I don't know, but that you're listening to me. And then you hear these words. You will face challenges, but you will overcome. You can do this. The strength that lies within you is greater than what is before you. Now let me illustrate why music is a powerful and emotive force, and these guys are going to help me out a little bit. You will face challenges, but you will overcome. You can do this. The strength that is within you is greater than what lies before you. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. We've had a great day. Cheers. Thank you so much. That's why we do this in church, right? But it's true, though. Music seems to be this powerful and emotive thing. When you see a picture or a bunch of pictures strung together, it's cool. But when there's this like deep, soaring music, you lean in. And you can say a sentence, a string of like words, and they can just be words, but have a little bit of backing track, and it seems to be a little bit more meaningful. Music is this powerful and emotive force. I think that's one of the reasons why we're engaging with it. But the second thing, one of the reasons we're engaging with it is music, like no other cultural medium in our society, seems to express what our culture and world is feeling. Music has this ability to interrogate, to look into what our world is going through and to express that, irrespective of the genre, irrespective of the artist, sometimes how good you think that music is, music has this ability to express what our world is feeling. But we believe this, that God is in the music. We believe that we're doing this series because God has got things to say to us, and so we want to lean into that. And in order to explore that today, I'm really excited. We've got Freddie Lalendle with us. Freddie, come join me up here. Freddie sung the first song. If you don't know who Freddie is, that's awesome. Thank you. Freddie was a finalist on The Voice South Africa, on The Voice South Africa. And if you don't know what The Voice South Africa is, it's basically, sorry, that's offensive, but you'll be okay with it. It's basically like Idols, but they sit on really fancy chairs. And then if they like the artist who's singing, they're initially facing this way. And then if they like the artist, they hit this big buzzer and everyone cheers. And then they turn around. They see Freddie and they're like, oh, I wish we hadn't turned around. Okay? That's what The Voice is, right? That's what The Voice is. And so, Freddie, you were on that, but you were a finalist on that. And so that was an amazing journey for you. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Thank you for having me. Being in The Voice was, in the beginning, a bit challenging for me because it was a bit daunting. Because I tried before to go to these reality TV shows to go basically make a fool of yourself in front of people. But it's what I love doing. It's what I love doing. I love music. And so previously I've had bad experience, obviously, like judges that say, oh, you're not ready or you're not good enough. And so I wasn't quite sure what the result was going to be or the feedback. So it was very nerve-wracking for me to walk on that stage and let people into my heart. And I did. And the coaches turned, all four of them. And just to prove to me that what we have within us is stronger than what lies before us. My audition, which was, I was very nervous. I wasn't as confident. It made it global. The company goes around the world and they pick best acts in every country, and mine made it on behalf of South Africa, and that also
cool,
showed
that. I think we can give them a round of applause for that. That's so cool.
Yeah. So it was challenging, but it also taught me a lot.
Sure. And what's amazing about this is Freddie is a part of our family. He grew up here in our youth. He was a part of our youth for many years. And in some ways, you found your voice in that environment. You began singing here. And so it really is good to have Freddie with us this morning. But Freddie, the first song you sang as the service opened is in part about your wife, Celine. And so why don't you just tell us a little bit about that song, what it means to you, and maybe what it means to us.
So I wrote that song because simply my wife has been a really stronghold in my life when I was away with The Voice, and basically since we started dating, like, she'd always been there for me, and so when I wrote it, it's not just mainly for her. It's written from a perspective whereby you can relate to it, or anyone that has someone that constantly lays themselves down for them can use the song and reflect on it. So it's basically saying you are made to dance, and quite coincidentally, my wife is a dancer as well. So it's to say that as much as you love me, or as much as you're here for me, you also look inside you. You've got your own goals. You're your own person. God has made you to have a purpose, and therefore, like, look inside you as well. You are made for so much more than what you're settling for, or what you're currently involved in,
yeah,
basically.
Sure. Yeah. I wasn't made to dance.
I know.
If you hear any truth today, that is truth above all truth, but that's true. Freddie, today we're singing, definitely not me, but you are singing a song by artist Ed Sheeran. Some of you may know him. The song is What Do I Know That Love Could Change the World in a Moment. So it's sort of like the heart of the song. What do I know that love could change the world in a moment? And recently I became a father, and recently you became a father to little Isaac, and he is a super cute little kid, and definitely takes after your wife. But for those of you that have been on this journey, you'll know, and maybe you'll be able to relate, that moment when that little one enters into your world, love changes your world in a moment. For some, it's like this instant thing, and it's just like you see the kid and you're like, that's crazy. For others, it's a growing love expression. But love has the ability to change your world in a moment. Freddie, before you do that, Isaac was born. How long after he was born did you have to leave to go play one of your first gigs?
I only spent an hour with him, and then I had to leave for like a couple of days.
That's the life of a musician. But this idea that love could change the world in a moment when he was born, it means different things to different people. But for you, it's got a special significance, that idea that his birth changed your world in a moment. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about that?
So I come from a very disconnected family background. I was sort of abandoned, and so I grew up with mates, cousins, and throughout life, I'd always had to be something for someone, just so I can please them, just so I can be accepted in certain circles, and you know that. So anyways, when my son came to the world, I was like, it's done. Like, I don't have to please anyone. This Oki here is going to love me the way, perfectly. Like, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to please him, hopefully. But you know what I mean? Like, it just came naturally. Like, all of a sudden, I didn't care what people say or thoughts or whatever. Yeah.
This little love that he would have for you changed your world in that moment.
Completely.
It's an incredible thing. This song Ed Sheeran wrote in a moment to express, obviously, what he was thinking and feeling, but he ended his US tour singing this song in every single one of the stadiums, at every single one of the events, because he wanted people to leave with these words ringing through their mind, that love can change our world in a moment. Freddie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Box I can stand upon, but God gave me a stage, a good song. Song my daddy told me, son, don't you get involved in politics, religions, other people's crowd. I paint a picture like beside the scene. When I have children, they will know what it means. And I pass on the things my family's given to me, just love and honor.
understanding positivity. We could change this whole world with a piano and a bass on guitar, grab a beat. And where we go, I'm just a boy with a one-man show. No university, no degree, no noise. Everybody's talking about exponential growth and a stock market crashing and a portfolio. I'll be sitting here with a song I wrote saying love can change the world in the moment. But what do I know? The revolution's coming, it's a minute away. I saw people marching in the streets today. You know we all made of love and hate, but both of them are balanced on a razor blade. I'll paint a picture, let me set the scene. I'm all for people following their dreams. Remember, life is more than fitting in your jeans. It's love and understanding, positivity. We could change this whole world with a piano, with a bass, a guitar, with a beat. And where we go, I'm just a boy with a one-man show. No university, no degree, no notes. Everybody's talking about exponential growth and a stock market crashing and a portfolio. I'll be sitting here with the song I wrote saying I can change the world in the moment. But what do I know?
I don't think you could get two more different artists than Freddie and Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran is a very pasty Englishman with ginger hair. Freddie, you are not that, but you are a real gift to us, so thank you so much for being here. I just want to say this, Freddie hasn't asked us to do this in any way, but I think we have incredible talent in our city, and it's a great opportunity for us to support Freddie in this way. And so if you see the Subway Run or Freddie Lalendle playing anywhere, go and support him. He's an amazing guy with an amazing story. So Freddie, thank you so much. In this song, Ed Sheeran is expressing and exploring, as I said earlier, the ability of music to undercover what's happening in our world. I think what Ed Sheeran does in these words and with this song is he speaks powerfully into what is happening in the world around us. That we live in a world filled with tension and uncertainty. That the streets are filled with people marching both out of love and out of hate. That we live in a world where people have these incredible desires to achieve great things, and yet so often we get caught up in the triviality of fitting into the right pair of jeans. I love the chorus of the song, though. I love what it says here. It says, everybody's talking about exponential growth, and the stock markets are crashing in their portfolios, while I'll be sitting here with the song that I wrote singing, love, love could change the world in a moment. Singing, love could change the world in a moment. What do I know? Yes, it seems that this world may be a mess at times. Yes, it seems like things are uncertain and maybe you're not sure what to do. But one of the realities, one of the truths that I think we can all hold to or attest to or at least explore in some way is that love has the ability to change our world in a moment. That love is a powerful force. This is not a cliched saying. This is not something for Cardis. This is a reality that love is an incredibly powerful force for good and for change in our world. Paul writes this letter to the early church, and the Message version translates it so beautifully for us. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 13. It says this, speaking about love and what love is, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's words with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have the faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I am bankrupt without love. It's an incredibly powerful force for good and for change in our world. Some of you know that I'm involved in Red Frogs, which is an initiative of our church. You may have seen the announcements for it for Matric Holiday coming up. But Red Frogs, we go into different environments, music festivals, Matric Holiday, universities. And in essence, what we try to do in these spaces, or what we hope to do, is that we believe love has changed our world. And so we believe that that love leads us to serve others. We believe that that love leads us and moves us into environments where we get to care for people who may not necessarily be worthy of it, or people's perceptions is that that's what is, you know what, that's what the case is. We go to places out of love to safeguard. We go to places to connect, to build relationship out of love. We sit in the gutter at 2 a.m. in the morning with a kid who's vomiting, not because we're good people, but because God's loved us, and so we want to express that love to others. And that's why we do what we do. It's love. Love motivates us. It moves us to all these environments. And so I'm sitting with this festival organizer, explaining what we do, explaining what Red Frogs is about. Now, just a side note, don't use the word love that much. It can get really creepy. And so I didn't. I didn't say, hey, like, we love people, we love people, we love people. But what I did was I expressed our actions that were rooted in love. I said what we did, but the reality is that all of those things are motivated and moved by love. And so we're sitting there chatting, and I'm explaining what love looks like. I just didn't use the word love. And he's going, this sounds really good. I'd love for you guys to come to my music festival. I'd love for you to be there. So I thought that was awesome. And so we continued to chat. We continued to have this conversation. And then suddenly this conversation took this really weird turn. We were chatting about sort of like, you know, mundane things. And then he said, you know, I have all these Christians. And he used this a word that I can't use in church before the word Christian. But he said, I have all these Christians that are trying to get into my music festival. And he literally like kept going on and on about these Christians that were trying to get into his music festival. And I'm sitting there going, oh, this is awesome. And literally, like, it's literally the next thing you go, so what do you do? Now I'm sitting there going, and you've heard us say from the stage before, like, that's a moment where you go, ah. So I said, I'm a pastor. And you can see in his mind, you can see in his mind going, what have I just been saying? Maybe you've done that before. I have. But, you know, so I can see him tracking through. But what was amazing to me in that moment is that his response wasn't against us. His response was paused, thought about it for a bit, and then said, would you guys like to have an Easter service at my festival? This is what this means to me. This is what I think this story illustrates, is that love is an incredibly powerful force in our world, and that love leads people to respond to love. People respond to love. This guy didn't respond to my Christianity. He was very against my Christianity, but my actions rooted in love seemed to mean something to him, and so he responded to love. To those of you of faith that are sitting here today, if you've been on this Christian journey, can I just say, people respond to love. You may not always know what to say or do, but I love what Andy Stanley says. He says, but we always, always know how to love. Our world is desperate for it, and we just get to live that out. So if you're not sure what to do in a situation, love. People respond to love. The second thing that the story illustrates for me is the reality that love, our actions rooted in love, all that we did rooted in love led to change. This guy had a real sense of openness towards us, and the festival environment began to change. Why? Because love is an incredibly powerful force for change in our world. It's an incredibly powerful force for change in our world. That love has the ability to change our world in a moment. And I think to myself, why is it? Why is it that love is this powerful force? Why is it that we respond to love? Why is it that people desire it? It's because it's deeply a part of who we are as human beings. Again, I don't say this to sound light or trivial or cliched in any way, shape, or form, but love is deeply a part of who we are as human beings. We desire it. We act out to get it. We do the most ridiculous and crazy things to express it. It's the driving force to so much of what we do, either in its security or in its absence. Maybe if you just think about that for a moment in your life, love is the driving force for so much of what we do, either in its security or in its absence. And I ask myself, why? Why is it that love is this? Why is it that we respond this way to love? And this is the reality. It's because you sitting here this morning, you are created in the image of love. You sitting here today, you are created in the image of love. You see, scripture is filled with expressions of not just God expressing love or God loving us, but that at the very center of who God is, the very center of who God is love. That God is love. And more than that, for you and I sitting here today, that you are created in his image. That you are created in the image of love, that on your heart are the markings of love. On your heart are the markings of love. And that's why we respond to love the way that we do. But I'm also so aware, sitting here this morning, that you may be hearing this, hearing all of this about love, and that we are, you know, we desire it, we act out to get it, that love is powerful. But I'm aware that maybe you're sitting here and saying, my perception of who God is that he's not love. My perception of who God is that he's not love. If you look at my world, if you look at the world around me, maybe you're sitting here going, that simply cannot be true. Maybe your experience of Christianity or the church is that God being love is not a reality or something that you've ever experienced. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, you know, that used to be true of my faith. I used to believe that God was a God of love and that I was called to that, but that's no longer a driving force to my relationship with God. Maybe it's that your faith has been about religious duty or family tradition, but that love has not been the driving force in that. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, you know, that's all good and well that God is love. It's all good and well that God is love, but you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. I'm not worthy to receive that love because of what I've done. And I understand that. I understand those expressions and those thoughts. And I want to speak into them if I can. I want to read to you from Romans 5. It's going to be up on the screens. This letter was written to the church in Rome by a guy, Paul, who had his life incredibly impacted in a moment by love. And so he's expressing what this is, why love is powerful, and what love is all about. And he says this in Romans 5, verse 6. He says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is essentially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. When I think of what love looks like, when I think of what love looks like and what love means and why love is a powerful force in our world, I think of this verse. You see, I would hope that in my noblest state, and maybe you would be the same, and potentially you'd put yourself, you'd run through the scenario in your mind, but I would hope that in my noblest state, and I would desire that in my noblest state, that I would be willing to lay my life down for those that I love. My wife, my daughter, most of my family. You may be the same. I'd be willing to do that for the person sitting next to me. Don't shake your head if it's not. But if I'm honest, there are people in my life who I battle to put in this situation. If I'm honest with you this morning, I battle to forgive the men that killed my father, let alone consider taking their place for the consequences of their actions. And yet, that's who God died for. And yet, that's who Jesus died for. The people that you and I would never consider. He died for them. He died for the unlovable. He died for the despised, the downtrodden, the rich, the poor, the prominent, the forgotten. He died for you, and he died for me. And that's what love is. That's what love is. That a God of love, moved and motivated by love, would make a way for you and I to receive his love. Love is displayed beautifully for us on the cross. That we get to receive it. The challenge is, though, is that we live in a world that says to us, if you want to receive something, you've got to do something. Most of what exists in society around us says, if you want something, you've got to achieve something in order to get it. You want better marks, study harder. If you want to increase, work harder. If you think about our relationships, the world around us, you want her to like you, do something ridiculous. So much of what we experience in our world is based on if you want something, if you need to receive something, you've got to do something to get it. And when we take that way of thinking and place it into our relationship with God, into our view of who God is, it gets to be a really unhelpful thing. And it's unhelpful for two reasons. The first is this, that potentially when we view love in this way, that I need to do something, I feel like I need to do something or be someone in order for God to love me. And maybe you're sitting here and your perception of who God is that you need to do something or become someone or become like someone in order for God to love you, that your efforts matter, that your efforts matter. Or maybe you're sitting here and saying, well, my perception of God is that I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve God's love because of what I've done or because of what I've not done. I don't deserve it. My actions matter. But what this passage is saying, what this passage is encouraging us to engage with, to listen to, is that our efforts and actions do not matter when it comes to how God loves us. Your efforts and your actions are not the determining factor of whether you are loved by God. I'll say that again. Your efforts and your actions this morning and from past until future, your efforts and actions are not the determining factor of whether God loves you. In fact, the first line in this passage that I read says, while we were still helpless. What that's saying to us is an incredible encouragement that you and I were helpless. We had the complete inability to make God love us any more or any less. Sitting here now today and tomorrow and for every day after that, you have the complete inability to make God love you any more or any less. And that is a liberating and freeing truth to us. God loves you. The good news is this. The good news is this. That God would give of himself. That God would give of himself, of which there is no greater expression of love. Not once we'd done the right things, but before we ever could. That he lived in human form as Jesus and he died. So that our efforts and actions would be removed from us. They were no longer the determining factor. His death on the cross removes our efforts and our actions. So that it is our trust in what Jesus has done for us that allows us to be in that relationship with God, to be loved by him. The good news is this, that love has changed the world in a moment. And that moment was the cross, and that is a moment that you this morning are invited into, that each and every one of us are invited into, and to be reminded of. That moment where love changed the world forever is a moment we get invited to participate in. We get to be a part of. But what does that look like? What does this mean? What does that look like for you and I? Well, the passage goes on to say this in verses 9 onwards, and it says this. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for us to become friends of God, to become friends with God. What this is all about, what love is all about, what this love is all about, is a way for you and I to become friends, to join a union, a oneness with God. Mark, who's the senior pastor here at Grace, one of the senior pastors here at Grace, over the last while, he's been exploring this idea from this thinker and theologian. His name's Richard Rohr. And it's really challenged me, and I hope it maybe lands this for you in some ways. He says this, that the goal of our faith is not private perfection, but union with God. The goal of our faith is not private perfection, but union, oneness, relationship with God. It's not about private perfection, which is our efforts and our actions. It's actually just about being in that oneness and relationship with God. And to those of you that have faith this morning, to those of you that have been on this journey with God, maybe you've been a Christ follower for a number of years, my real hope is that this would be a liberating and refreshing truth to you today. That it is not about your efforts and actions. God doesn't desire for you to strive towards perfection. He wants to be in a relationship with you, in love, based on love, living out love. And I think the challenge is so often I can get into the way of thinking, me personally, and maybe you do too, but I can get into this way of thinking that I think my actions and my efforts matter. And more pervasively, I think sometimes for me, is that more pervasively I can think that the goal is about being good enough, lovable enough, perfect enough, Jesus-like enough. And I think that sometimes enters into my mind, but that's not the goal. The goal is oneness, union, relationship with God. That's the goal. We get to step into a perfect relationship with God. Not because we are perfect, but because He is. And it's out of that place we live out what's already within us. We're not striving towards anything. We're living out of this union, oneness, relationship with God that is based, surrounded, all about love. About love. Love displayed for us on the cross. Maybe you're here and you're investigating this Christian thing. So aware that you may be here this morning and you think, this God and the music, that sounds like a ridiculous thing for a church to do, and I understand that. But maybe you're here this morning and you're still exploring Christianity. I want you to hear this. I want you to take this one single thing away with you today, that our faith is not about whether you are good enough. It's not about our efforts or our actions. It's not about being perfect. It's about relationship with God based on love. If you're going to explore Christianity, explore it from that foundation, because the other things get so tricky and so messy. The simple truth is this, that Jesus made a way for you and I to step into perfect relationship with Him. We don't need to be perfect. I want to close off for a moment, giving us a moment to respond and reflect. So however you want to do that, if you'd like to bow your heads, close your eyes, if you want to just sit there, you're more than welcome to do any of the above. But I want to invite us into a moment to reflect on this. Perhaps what you need to reflect on is what parts of your life, if you're on this journey of faith, what parts of your life do you find your faith being based on private perfection? Where in your life, where in your heart do you find yourself leaning towards thinking that your efforts and your actions determine whether God loves you or not? And just in this moment, say, God, thank you that it's not my efforts, it's not my actions. You love me because of who you are, not because of what I've done. And maybe you're here, and as I said, maybe you're exploring Christianity, but maybe you're wanting to respond to love, to the love that God has for you, to what that love is inviting you into, a love that says, just as you are, I love you right now, right here, and that there is nothing you can do, nothing that you have done that will make God love you any more or any less. And that all of this is made possible because of what Jesus did for you on the cross, by taking away all your efforts and all your actions, and offers you the ability this morning, right now, this moment, offers you the ability to step into a perfect friendship, union, oneness with God. And maybe this is the moment in your world where love changes your life. Maybe for you sitting here now, you know that, yes, love can change the world in a moment, but maybe you're saying, now I want love to change my world in this moment. And if that is you here, there's going to be a prayer up on the screens. I'm going to read it out to you. You don't need to worry about responding if you don't want to. I'm going to read this out to you. If this is a prayer that you'd like to say, then I'm going to pray it a second time and invite you to participate with me. But this is the prayer. God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that your love has removed all my actions and efforts that take me away from your love. Thank you that your love has made a way for me to be in a relationship with you. And if that is a prayer that you would like to pray this morning, if that is something that's responding in your heart, where it's something you're going, this is a step I'd like to take, I'm going to invite you to just say this in your mind, in your heart, just quietly to yourself. So let's pray together. God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you have removed all my actions and efforts that take me away from your love. Thank you that your love has made a way for me to be in a relationship with you. God, we really do thank you this morning that your love was real. It was expressed. It was lived out. It wasn't just a theory, that it landed on the cross. And for each of us, God, that we would be reminded that it is that action, it is that truth that is love expressed and love that calls us to respond. So I pray for each and every one of us, God, where we find ourselves striving towards perfection, where we find ourselves in this habit of thinking that our efforts and our actions matter according to how much you love us, that you, Jesus, would remind us of the truth, that you love us because of who you are, not because of what we've done. And we get to be in a relationship with you because you've made a way. And so help us, help each and every one of us to live that out, live out that love relationship with you. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. If that was a prayer that you have prayed, if that was something that you, where you feel like this is a starting point for you, you're wanting to take a next step, at the info desk, which is as you walk out straight at the back, there's a little DVD there for you. It's Next Steps. It just helps you say, well, what is, if my life has been impacted by love, how do I live that out? And so if that is you, you'd like to take those next steps, please go collect a DVD at the back. There will be a prayer team up front for anyone that needs to respond in prayer. But thank you so much. May we go out into this week striving towards a relationship with God, not towards perfection. Have a good week.